KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host Jim Bartko couldn't be with us today, but producer Kevin Kirsten is on hand as always. Joining us by phone today is new Fresno State softball coach, a Valley native, Linda Garza. Linda, welcome home.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Linda, I've got to tell you, listening to your press conference earlier this week, I couldn't help but get fired up about the direction of the softball program. You know, I was ready to sign a national letter of intent myself, hearing you talk and your passion for the Valley. I'm going to guess recruiting is one of your strengths.
Yeah, it's definitely always been one of those things that, you know, I believe in what I do and I believe in the places that I've been and the things that I have learned. So I'm excited, obviously, to be able to share that same sort of passion and energy, obviously, with athletes and with players and with student athletes out there. So it's been a great transition of being able to now have something that's even at a higher level at that top 25 caliber and with that Fresno State brand name on it. In the softball world, definitely makes recruiting a heck of a lot easier.
And you're a Valley native. You come to Fresno State from UC Riverside, where you were head coach there. Talk about being from Hoover High School right up the street here. It's my alma mater, too. You and I talked about that earlier this week, how we were actually at Hoover for a year together.
But yeah.
Then you jumped over to UNLV for college. So tell us what went into that decision.
You know, it's always one of those things. A lot of people, you grow up, I always wanted to be a Bulldog. I grew up always knowing that Fresno State softball was one of the elite. At that same time, you know, it's one of those things you also have to be good enough to compete at that level. And when I say level at that point, you know, we were at Fresno State, top in the conference, top in the country, you know, contending for a national title. And if you look at my stature, I'm not the biggest kid on the block. So I had a lot of work cut out for me. If I wanted to obviously compete at a program at that level, at that moment in my life. And there was also some darn Olympian and an All-American named Nina Lindenberg who played right ahead of me. And I wasn't really sure or confident that I was going to be able to outplay Nina. So I felt, you know, for those 4 years, that was best for me, was to kind of get away from home, grow, and just get some independence. And I've always been, though, a Valley kid. So even though I may have gotten away, Fresno State has always been tugging at my heart.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Nina Lindenberg. I was thinking about her yesterday, hearing you talk about just sort of the way the long ball has come about at Fresno State softball, something that, you know, wasn't a big emphasis back during some of Fresno State's best years. But Nina did hit that game-winning home run to win the national title in 1998. Do you remember watching that national championship game against Arizona?
Yeah, you know, I remember that game because we were actually in conference with them at that point with UNLV and Amanda Scott. Obviously, we all played travel ball together with all of us. So, you know, whenever Fresno State was doing well, there were a lot of players and teammates that we played travel ball together that were on that team. So I grew up always watching, obviously, Fresno State ball. My mom and I used to listen to the games on the radio. And so I specifically remember watching it and seeing that ball go over and just seeing the joy and the excitement when that last out was made. It's just one of those things, I think, for the entire Valley. I believe at that point that was the first national title for Fresno State. So I think it was a big win for that entire community and city.
Where does that Bulldog pride come from for you? You know, is it just being the hometown team?
Absolutely, that's some of it. You know, my aunt, she actually works there. She's been there for a few years. But where that's probably come from is my parents have always been very into athletics and things. So, you know, my uncle lives down the street, and we've always tailgated and done things there at the football stadium. And I remember as a young kid, you know, I had a Fresno State jacket, and, you know, you would just, you know, a barbecue at your uncle's house, and then you would walk to the football stadium and go to the games. And so I just remember that. That was the biggest show in town. You know, you didn't really go to San Francisco and go watch a 49er game, and you didn't head into LA to go and do anything. If you wanted to watch some sort of athletic venue or some sort of event, it was a Fresno State event. And obviously the coverage across the community and what you would hear on the radio and what you would see on TV, it's the only thing you see as a kid. And, you know, that was ESPN at that point. So for me growing up, that was the biggest stage, and that was the stage you wanted to be on.
Is that part of what makes Fresno a special place? Is that part of your message to recruits or, you know, potential members of your coaching staff, that Fresno State's got that special, you know, large town, but also a college town sort of feel?
You know, a lot of people don't realize it from California. You think of Fresno, and of course, you think of the Valley, and you think of heat, and you're not really near the water and those sort of things, and you kind of get the bad rap. However, you know, I've been fortunate enough to get out of California and get out into the Midwest and see how in a Southeastern Conference school lives. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no difference. 95 degrees with 80% humidity is absolutely miserable. And there's no water around unless you call it a lake. You realize that that Fresno State feel is very similar to what it was like when I was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, or, you know, when I was in Dayton, Ohio, or West Lafayette, Indiana. When you're in those areas, you realize, hey, this is kind of how a lot of people live. If they want to go somewhere and get to a major city, they're driving 2 hours to get somewhere. And this is the biggest show. And you start to see that that's what a college town is like. So I think I was able to make that transition a lot faster and realize, hey, I have that back at home in California. And, you know, a lot of big schools, for example, even in the Pac-12, or even if you want to go into just UCLA, USC, and those sort of things, I've lived in Southern California. Everybody is pulling for your interest, whether that's concerts, whether that's art, whether that's professional sports, colleges. There's just so many people, and you can get pulled in so many avenues that you don't see that college town excitement that we do still have at Fresno State.
You know, speaking of your previous experience there at UC Riverside, not a traditional powerhouse program, but you managed to lead them to back-to-back 30-win seasons. How'd you do that turnaround there? How'd you lead them to that?
A lot of work went into it. You know, we had to get a lot of kids to buy in. We also had to sell a program that hadn't had success. It had been a Division I program for 11 years. It had never had a winning season. And, you know, a lot of people didn't want the job. A lot of people were off of the job and probably didn't want to grab at it or take it or take that calculative risk. To me, it could go anywhere but up. It couldn't. You know, that was the thing. It was going to go in the right direction with the right lead. And, you know, we got in, and I was fortunate at that point. You know, Jody Cox, who is going to be joining us, obviously, at Fresno State, she wanted to get back into Division I, and she had been a Division III school for the past 5 years at Occidental and realized that competitive edge. She wanted to get back, so she was willing to make that leap and join me and join that team. And, you know, I'll never forget our first week. We went in and painted the offices, and we bought some furniture and put it in. And no different than anything, you go in and you renovate kind of a house and you make it yours and you make it sellable. And we got some kids that bought into what we were doing. And they worked their tails off, and they were able to put us in a position that obviously we were able to win the games that we win, and I'll always be forever grateful for those athletes. No different than I think Trisha Ford is, being in that position that now she's at Arizona State. You know, all those kids are the ones who put us in a position that we can get the avenues that we have right now. Those wins are those kids' wins. You know, obviously we coach them, we do what we need to do. But I never swung a bat, I never fielded a ball, I never scored a run or threw a pitch. I had some tremendous athletes around me and staff. I'm just glad that those type of decisions were able to lead me back home.
Speaking of the kids, the student athletes, is that the toughest part of leaving one job for another job?
You build relationships. You know, that's one thing in the industry in softball. It's a little different maybe than football and other sports, is that these athletes only have 4 years. Most female sports, they only have 4 years to do it. So when you spend those 2 years recruiting them, you really get to know them and their families a lot. I was lucky, you know. I went in and I told my kids, and it was hard. However, all of them came back to my office about a week later when I was packing up, and they said, Coach, you got to go home. This is the professionalism. You've trained us the right way, and you've allowed us to grow, and this is how real world works. You're going to have a boss someday, and that ownership is going to change with a new boss. And so I'm just glad that our athletes were ready to embrace whoever they get, and no different than the Fresno State family that I've been kind of been blessed to walk into, is those same student athletes are saying, let's go, Coach Garza. Like, where do you want us to go? What do you need us to do? That's the best part about college athletics. These kids are resilient, and they can deal with adversity really quickly.
Listening to your press conference earlier this week, you know, I think a lot of people walked away feeling inspired. The one biggest takeaway that sat with me when I left was when you made the comment about all the other teams in the nation. You know, there's 300 places I could be, but there's only one place for me. Something yeah. Along those lines. Talk about your statement there and what you were feeling when you said that.
When I wanted to get into college coaching, I didn't realize what it really was. I kind of thought, you know, when I got into the SEC and I got into the Big Ten, you get a different taste. There's a different amount of competitiveness that you have. However, I was missing my main ingredient, which was the reason that I can do what I do is because of the people who raised me and the people that I'm around and the people who have built me up. And those are, you know, that's my family. Those are my friends. Those are my community. And it's hard to do a job that you absolutely love and to have those same celebrations when you're celebrating it away from them. and to know that there's a softball field miles down the street from your family and friends, that honestly that community embraces that game the same way. So I've always had my eyes on an opportunity like Fresno State, and, you know, you work your tail off to put yourself in a position to get that sort of job. You know, not anybody's just going to get it. You have to work. I'm glad that I was able to make the decisions that I made in my college career and then in my coaching career. And so I speak the truth when I say my dream job is the dream job that I have right now. So to have been able to say that in a press conference and mean it, I think a lot of coaches say what they have to say, but to say it with conviction and know when I'm buying a house right now, I'm buying a house that I want to live in forever. That's the kind of investment, and there's very few people that get this sort of opportunity. I'm going to do everything I can to embrace it and do what I need to do, obviously, to keep growing this tradition and keep building upon the legacy that has been set before me.
How happy is your family right now?
Oh, man. It's been a neat experience. You know, a lot of people, you know, I kind of briefly talked about it. I didn't really talk about it in my press conference. One thing that a lot of people don't know is I have two older brothers. Both have been probably my biggest mentors as far as athletics and allowing me to just be me and allowing me to be a competitive female, and that nothing was wrong with it. They allowed me those stages. My middle brother was actually killed in a hit and run accident this past March.
Oh, no.
So I left Riverside for about 2 weeks to kind of manage funeral and just family and get away. And it was in the heart of the season. Again, Coach Cox and my staff was there. And my team was able to maintain an 11-game win streak while I was away. They kept the win streak alive. And I still think things happen for a reason. And it's surreal to know that that sort of tragedy can happen in a family that's that close. And then you get a call, you know, a few months later that just changes the mood of everything. You know, I don't like to talk about it a lot just because I don't want it to take away from Fresno State softball and what it is. But it almost makes it even more special of that. Timing is everything, and I'm supposed to be where I'm at, and I'm glad that I'm going to be doing what I do.
Our deepest condolences go out to you for that loss. You know, speaking of your family, you had a lot of family at your press conference this week. You know, it was a standing room only crowd there in the Save Mart Center media room, but I think everyone got a little chuckle when you told your family you expect them to be buying season tickets. They're not getting on that free pass list. Were you serious about that? Or
yeah, I'm one of those. You know, my dad comes from a family of 10. When we do Thanksgivings Garza style, there's 50 to 60 people that are at one event. I've never missed a Thanksgiving. That's just something you don't do in our family. When we take holidays, we take them serious, and there's things that we do. They get to see me in an element that they've never seen me in as far as aside from obviously my brothers and my parents who have flown to go watch me do what I do or have, you know, captured a game in Riverside or when we've played at Fresno State. I always have had that support. But to be able to have it at a level, you know, in fact, you know, I'm getting ready to go camping with my family, and one of the big things that they, you know, my aunt talked about is, when do these season tickets come out? You know, do I need to pick a specific spot? So just kind of having those sort of conversations with them, you know, I want them. I want them to feel that spirit that really happens at Bulldogs Diamond and at Margie Wright Lee. And it's just, you get that special vibe there. You know, it's a fast game. It's a fun game. And the more you're around it, it sucks people in. It's why it does what it does and why it's so successful. When you start watching it in June and in postseason play, it's why it can get those fans. And I just, again, I'm glad that my family gets to kind of go and see 25, 30 games of me doing what I do for a living. And like I said, I can't say it enough. I love what I do. To be able to do what I do and get paid to do it, sometimes I feel like it's a joke. However, I do know the responsibility of my job does rely on 18 to 22-year-olds and their decisions. And sometimes there's times I don't want that part.
Yeah, it's always interesting to look back and have that perspective on it. But talk a little bit about, you know, the fans who are coming out to the games. What's the identity of a Linda Garza coach softball team?
You know, I'm energetic. I'm going to be in the box. I'm a positive person. There's definitely going to be moments that I'm passionate. I call it passionate. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a tough place to play. I've always been an opponent in that arena. And, you know, calls don't always seem to go your way. And you hear the boos when they all of a sudden do. And now I can't wait for the excitement from mine. We run. I've always been a part of a running team and taking risk and doing some little things and doing them well. I'm going to completely embrace and can add to that power game that now Fresno State has added. You wish that Nine and Lindenberg played with today's bat and the way sometimes can go now. Because I'm going to tell you, she wouldn't have led the nation in doubles. She would have been up there in home runs. I think that's one thing that's going to be fun to watch is we get this element of speed and we get it with power. I want to improve our defense a little bit, and that's something I've spoken to the players and student athletes about is just getting better and getting more fine-tuned in that area so that we can stay more competitive in games longer. And in case hitting drops down, at least you're forcing teams to have to score runs instead of giving up runs and putting that pressure on your pitching staff. It's going to be fun. I expect people to be on their feet once in a while. We're going to need people that, you know, fire us up when it's getting tight and we have a runner on second base and that full count is up. I want people on their feet, and I want to give that opponent something that is a home field advantage. I really want that 11th man feeling it in the stands and helping us get that victory.
When you're talking about relating to your student athletes, are you more of a demanding coach, a more laid-back coach? Talk about your style there.
You know, I would say I'm direct. I'm definitely direct. You know what I'm going to want. I think I'm a pretty good communicator. You know, there's definitely, we're going to have some transition, and my job is to make this as seamless as possible. However, you know, I like my kids to know what to expect and what we're doing. Once in a while, I'll throw them a curveball, but I'm pretty much the same. I like those sort of things in my own life. You know, I like things, if 2 o'clock's practice, 2 o'clock's practice, and you can kind of plan around it and those sort of things. And at practice, once in a while, I'll throw something on them that they're not used to and kind of see how they react, because there are going to be times in the game that we have the rain delay or, you know, the bus broke down and we're just barely getting there and we have 5 minutes to get ready for a game. And you still have to be prepared for those little moments because it's an outdoor sport and there is no clock. But I would definitely say direct and a communicator.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a chance you've had to familiarize yourself with the roster you got right now. Obviously, one of the big voids you'll have to fill is the star pitcher Jill Compton from last year, losing her. How important is that to solidify that top pitching spot in the game of softball, college softball specifically?
You know, I always say this with every recruiting class, any place I've ever been, and I think it's the right thing. And it's, I don't think you ever replace anybody because they bring so many unique characteristics. Jill, if I stand correctly, she's a 100 game runner in her career. And, you know, Hannah had some success as well. And you had a lot of people that did some great things. Our job is to take the returners and take Long and to Dung and do these things that we need to do, which is give them some experience and some platform to be successful. And, you know, that's what it's had. You know, Jill was a freshman that first year with Coach Ford and, you know, kind of got handed the ball and had to go through it and learn how to go through it. And that's one of the things right now is we're in a reloading phase for that position and we're going to reload. And this is where Coach Cox, what I tell her is this is what she's best at. This is something she's used to. You know, we had a 30-game winner heading into this past season going in at Riverside, and in January found out she was not going to be able to play. And getting that news and realizing your 30-game winner in 6 weeks is not going to be on the mound all season is tough to hear. So Jody is static that she has 3 months to do what she needs to do and do it well. So I'm completely confident with that part. We will have some ups and downs. You go through growing pains when you're giving pitchers experience.
You grew up seeing, you know, some of those great Fresno State teams. It seemed like they always had just a dominant pitcher in the circle. Talk about how important that is for you to establish with some of the younger student athletes that are on the team right now.
You know, pitching's a game right now that you're not ever seeing the ERAs that we used to see even at Fresno State. I mean, I was looking through some of the record books and going through and seeing what a Terry Carpenter and a Maureen Brady, and you go look at what Amanda Scott did, and even a Jamie Southern, and you just kind of keep going down the line, and you just are like, All-American, 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 All-American. I think Coach Ford did an amazing job. There were a lot of games won, but I don't think there's been an All-American since Morgan Mello, I think, was on the mound. So when you start looking at knowing, okay, wait, you know, we've been successful. We've hit above 300. We have these power numbers. Our job still is to go and get that pitcher. We do. I want to go and get somebody who can handle that big stage and be where they need to be at peak performance time. And it takes work to go and find and get that and also get that kid to commit. However, I'm confident that we can start moving in that direction while still building what we have. And that's the beauty right now of this recruiting part is us selling the tradition and where we're going is so many great people and so many great pitchers have been through this. And having somebody like Jody with us working specifically with that area who's been an All-American, who's been on the national team, who has played professionally in her career and was successful offensively as well. I think you get somebody who can relate, and our job is to grow that position with her and with us.
You talked about, you know, the Midwest teams coming in now on California talent and local talent and trying to draw them to colleges out there in the Midwest. What do you do to keep that talent here locally? And, you know, why do you tell a recruit that she should choose Fresno State?
You know, my thing that I want to grow at Fresno State within the next year and a half, at least within the next 2 years, is we have to build that attendance back up. I think the way that you can compete, stay live and relevant. When you go and post something on Instagram, Twitter, and it's a current game of us playing a San Diego State, and there really are 2,200 fans in the stands, it means something. And so those are the things that, for us, I really want us to be a part of and be able to build as a community. And those are the things that I need to sell to those local kids and California kids, because I can tell you that's not happening at Stanford. That's not happening at UCLA. It's not happening at Cal Berkeley. You know, they may still be in those power conferences, but they're not getting that media attention that we get. I mean, just the radio airtime, the Mountain West Live Network, the amount of publicity within the community and the news, the more that that gets out there, the better off we can still sell that, because these kids want that. They do.
What are your favorite memories of going to Fresno State games growing up? Was it those big crowds for those special games, or was there a particular game that stood out to you?
I always remember coming back and seeing regionals. Even when I was in college, I always came back to watch regionals. I remember that. I remember the grandstands in the back. I remember the stadium would be packed, and then you'd have, you know, still the stands in the back that would be packed. And this was before TV. This was the way you had to come and watch the games. There was nothing else that was going on. Those are the memories that I love, when people were clapping their hands and doing those sort of things. Like I said, it's one of those exciting times. So I'm hoping that the community can, again, and not that we haven't, but embrace it at a level that we increase that attendance rate the way we need to keep up with everybody else, so that we can keep this West Coast talent here in the West Coast.
You had unique challenges at UC Riverside. There's unique challenges at Fresno State as well, you know, coming off a top 25 season where there's already been some success. What are the biggest differences in the way you approach this job at those two places?
You know, you sell different things. I think that at any institution or any place that you ever go, no different than anybody who's in an industry, if it's just as simple as like a radio or anything, you know what your strengths are. So for us, you know, when I was at UC Riverside, we really hounded academics. We had a med school. We had some things. So we went after a very different athlete. Obviously, we went after athletes that could play, but we went after athletes that maybe weren't looking to be on TV or nationally ranked at that point. They really wanted maybe more of a nationally ranked academic field. So that's how we tackled that part there. We also, though, were selling something that hadn't happened yet. Here, you're selling current that it's live and it's up and it's running and it has it and it's successful and it's doing things. So it's one of those moments right now that, for recruiting, I think the past helps us. I think our current success helps us. And I think this branding that you guys have been able to do to help promote it is more things that we need to do and get out in the community and just kind of get it out there. And when I say community, I'm talking about the softball community. Because I need somebody in Oregon to be able to see it. I need somebody in SoCal to be able to go, man, she's been on 5 radio shows. That staff has done this, and I've seen them here. And the only way they're going to see it, Eddie, is if we do this way. This is the only way it's going to happen. That's going to help us on the recruiting part.
Do you get any spare time at all? Talk about what you like to do off the field. You mentioned you're going camping with your family.
You know, I'm a huge lake person. I can't wait to share that with my staff and to be able to get people to go to Bass Lake, get on a pontoon boat and enjoy a cabin and do those sort of things. I'm a huge, and I can't believe I'm going to say it on the air, I'm a huge country music fan. I'm a little bummed in some ways because I bought my mega country ticket pass and it's all in SoCal. And obviously, you know, I have a job to do here at Fresno State, so it doesn't work out with those dates. But if there's any listeners out there that ever have extra tickets and need somebody to tag along, I'm definitely one person that will figure out how to make way for some country music. So I definitely enjoy concerts and that downtime and just kind of relaxing. So I'm a beach and lake kind of gal.
So did you hear the big news this week that Garth Brooks is coming to the Save Mart Center?
Oh, man. So yeah, as long as you guys have tickets sitting for me, we'll figure out prices later. But yeah, those are the big things for me. I like it.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
My dad's obviously, he grew up in Sanger, but was born and raised in Moore, Texas. My mom grew up in Fresno, born and raised in Fresno. Her sisters and family still live here. My dad, his family still lives half in Sanger, half in Fresno. We're close. In fact, I told you when we do things, when we're going camping, it'll be my dad and his six siblings will come out with their kids. We're all older now, so everybody brings their kids and cousins. And, you know, we have a great time. We have movie nights. We do little things. It's all we have, you know, and that's really one thing that I've always been able to share. You know, do we argue? Absolutely. Do we know each other's weaknesses and strengths? Absolutely. But there's just something to be said with family. And I think that's an important thing that I want to, you know, continue doing. I know Coach Ford did an amazing job with having her family be involved as far as her husband and her family and her kids. I want to continue, you know, letting our athletes see us as people, because all three of us eventually that are going to be working here at Fresno State, Jody especially, she's super close with her family. It's why she's never left California. She wants to be able to have access to her nephews and her family. So it's important to me. And I understand for kids, that's why they pick California and want to play, because it is important that those parents and family are in the stands for them. So I'm going to do everything I can, obviously, to continue with this family environment so that everyone's kind of getting what they want. That's the beauty of being a California kid and playing in California, is your parents get to watch you compete.
Speaking of Jody Cox, your assistant who you've already hired, how important is it to have someone you're familiar with, that like-minded coach alongside you?
You know, a lot of people don't realize, but I think you see it. You see it in Congress. You see it in businesses, that when somebody gets hired, or even an athletic director, they bring one person that they're familiar with that knows their style, and you've already built that loyalty and that trust. She's really the glue behind the scenes. You know, I'm the worker. I'm the one that's going places. For a prime example right now, I'm working with my family and doing some things. Jody right now is managing the move. So she's contacting the movers, and they're getting to my house. They're getting to her place. And they're making sure. I've already sent her a voicemail one time. She's getting frustrated with that, but that's kind of how it works. You know, this is one of the things, you're only as good as your staff, and having that dynamic in that bullpen of somebody that I can trust and know that they're 100% in it with you through the good times and bad, it's big for me. It's big for me.
What's the first thing you have to get done now, or what's on your priority list? Is it hiring that next assistant, or is it recruiting, or tell us what that is?
You know, we lost a month as a coaching staff, Jody and I, in terms of, we come from a quarter school. And the only reason I say lost a month is we did not finish till middle of June. And we normally would not start anything till the middle, if not end of September. So you go here and school ends in the middle of May, and it starts in the middle or late August. So we've kind of lost those 2 months, or at least month and things, that we would normally be managing at this point. We're playing catch up right now. So we're doing, for me, I'm managing some scheduling, just getting everybody slated for the season and make sure that everybody's still coming to the tournaments and doing the things that we said we were going to do. You're making sure that the recruits, that everyone's staying in touch, the kids that we are attacking that we need, that are staying with that constant communication between us. Two big national tournaments are going on right now. So I'm going to go and watch those games on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll continue those through the week next week. And then we will really come right back and dive back into Fresno State and that current roster. I'm excited about that new assistant position. Hopefully we can move forward and through that in the next 2 weeks. But it's kind of right now a little bit down on the list, because we kind of wait for that applicant pool to build, and then we just pull from it as that evolves.
Have you set expectations or goals for the 2017 season yet, or do you have to get to know the returners more and figure that out later on?
The big thing is getting to know that pitching side. I'm confident in our offensive skills. Having not seen the pitching side enough, that's the real thing. Knowing that freshmen and sophomores are going to be holding on to the bulk of things, that's something that I just kind of want to see with my eyes, to kind of go look through that schedule and go, okay, I can see that. I can see that. That's going to be a tough one. How do we battle that one? So, yeah, I mean, still the eyes are still on another Mountain West Conference title. You know, that's my job. That's what I was hired to do. And I'm going to work my tail off, along with my staff and these student athletes. We're going to work our tails off to still go out and get that three-peat. And it's going to take everything from us, but we're not going to stop. That's why I was hired here. It's what I do. And that's the goal that I have set forth, and that we're going to work our tails off to go and achieve it.
Linda Garza, a Fresno native, born and raised. Thanks for being with us today and welcome home. Hope you have a good.
Thanks so much.
Hope you have a great camping trip.
Thanks so much. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Thanks again to our guests, Linda Garza and Sports Report producer Kevin Kirsten. We appreciate you joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.